Are you going to get vaccinated? I think I want to wait a bit longer. What do you need to wait? I'm just not in a rush to get it, mate. Have you had it? Yeah, I've had it. Why are you being so selfish? How am I being selfish? Because if you get COVID, you can pass it on to me. But you've been vaccinated. Yeah, but I can still get it. So if I get vaccinated, I can still get it too. Yeah, but you should still get it because then you won't pass it on to me. But if I get vaccinated, I can still get it and still pass it on to you. Well, yeah, but you should still get it. But you can catch it off me whether I've been vaccinated or not. Yeah, but you should still get vaccinated. But why? Because it's the right thing to do. Who says? The people that make it.
You've been referring to the MedSafe document. I'm just wondering when that was written, because I'm looking on the CDC Morbidity and Mortality Weekly report from August 6th.
The MedSafe is the New Zealand government's...
Yeah, but this one here is actually talking about vaccine safety in adolescents. I think it's really interesting to cross-reference with what's going on up there and down here. They may say
I'm sure that they... I imagine they share a bit of information, but yeah.
Well, it's very interesting. I'll just read one part of it really caught my attention.
Which bit are you looking at?
CDC.
Yeah, CDC. Which part at which particular page?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It's down at the end, toward the very end.
Is there a headline there I can have a look at?
Let's see. Let me get back to it. I got to go back and forth. I'm not that good at this. One sec. The top of the page is vaccine safety in adolescents.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it goes to summary, review of VAERS data. And it goes down to discussion, and I think it's sort of in discussion where I had it. But then I highlighted a couple of sentences. One is, the initial study, and this goes to July 21st, the initial safety findings of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine administered to U.S. adolescents aged 12 to 17 years are similar to those described in the clinical trials, with the exception of myocarditis, a rare, serious adverse event associated with the receipt of mRNA-based COVID vaccines.
Yeah.
Follow-up of the reported myocarditis cases is ongoing.
Yeah.
And FDA will continue to monitor for adverse...
Well, we had an adverse event in that respect just a few days ago.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, there was like hundreds of them, and they're following it up. So when MedSafe says there's no evidence, well, that would be true for New Zealand, but there is evidence.
No. I was talking about blood clotting.
Well, myocarditis is in the generic family of blood problems with the vaccine. I mean, there's another one, I can't pronounce the name of it, but it's low platelets. But that's, you know, that's just a...
Well, that's but myocarditis is an inflammation of the heart muscle.
Well, that's true. And I've just given you a snippet of it. Anyone can look at the CDC report and find out for themselves, especially doctors. But the good news is in 2008, Vanderbilt University Medical Center and Mount Sinai Medical Center, did a study on 32 survivors of the 2018 pandemic. They were between 2 and 10 years old during the pandemic, and one or more of their family members died, so they were really exposed to it, and they had full immunity at 92 years old, up to 100 something. They were really old people. And so the exciting thing is there are universities and virology centers around the world studying this and how actually the acquired immunity that a COVID patient recovered
from. Are you talking about the 1918 influenza epidemic?
Yes.
You said 2018. And I was
sorry,
confused.
1918. You know, the 90, there were 90, a 92-year-old, 92 and up. There was 32 of them, all immune. So the current studies that are going on internationally at La Jolla Institute of Virology and Tel Aviv University are showing very strong, robust acquired immunity after being exposed. So I think there's hope there. And maybe we could start doing some antibody testing with the already survivors here to find out what their antibodies
are. Well, I mean, the only things I've heard about it is that the acquired immunity that you get from having caught it or being exposed to it isn't as strong as the immunity you get from vaccinations.
Well, I suggest you look up the Tel Aviv University study that's ongoing and the La Jolla Institute of Virology.
Yeah.
They have incredible findings, and it's hopeful. Mm. I mean, how hard would it be to test all of the 4,000 cases who've already been here? See what their immunity level is. The antibodies will show it.
Yeah.
England is doing it.
I won't be able to do that, but I'm sure that they will look at that.
Well, all of the people that are recovered here will, I mean, according to the science.
Well, people are catching it twice as well, and there are people who've had it before.
Well, the ones who have vaccines are getting it.
Yeah,
that's the shocking part.
But I think that the only recent stuff I've read that's been released as reliable is that the vaccine is a preferable way to go.
Well, this is recent. Yeah. It's Tel Aviv University.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's up to date news.
Okay. No, fair enough. Okay, thanks, Margaret. Yeah. God, I'm not a bloody research centre here. I'm a talkback host on an overnight show.
Well, we're outside Wynn Fraser. Grant Edwards here from Liberty NZ. We're outside Wynn Fraser, and you can't even, with Wynn Fraser, the fellow in here is very rude. He says no mask, no service, and that's fair enough if you're inside. But here I am outside the building, and they won't even serve me if I don't wear a mask. And all I want is a tin of spray to drill some holes. I've been buying stuff off these people for a long, long time, and unless I put a mask on, even outside in the fresh air, they won't serve you. So that's Wynn Fraser. So you need to mark this company that they are collaborators with the Marxist communist government, and either that or they're just completely fearful of an invisible virus. So even if you're outside, you know they won't serve you, even if you're outside without a mask.
They won't serve you.
Not unless you've got a mask on. So, I can understand if you go inside, you'd have to wear one. Oh, no, I'm all right. I'm not dealing with these people. Yeah.
No, you're not.
Not if they're going to treat me like that. So I'm outside, and they will not serve me, even though I'm like 3 metres away. So that's him. So this is the fellow here that won't serve me. Oh, he's going to serve me now. Oh, good on you, mate. You've had a second thought, have you?
No,
good on you.
I meant to get it for you.
Yeah, well, you said you weren't going to serve me.
No, I didn't. I just said okay.
I think you might have changed your mind. Well, I appreciate that. I'm not wearing a mask because I'm not scared of an invisible virus that's got a 99.98% chance of survival.
I know, but we have to abide by the rules because
I know, but you know what?
We could be fined.
Yeah, well, so you know the people that actually hid Anne Frank from the Nazis were breaking the law, and the people that murdered her.
I totally agree with you. We don't want a 10,000.
The people that killed her were obeying the law.
I totally agree with you.
So if you all go obeying silly laws, but look, if you obey stupid laws, this is how they're controlling us. This is how the government controls us.
You won't pay the $10,000 fine if we get fined, will you?
If everyone just says no, there will be no $10,000 fine.
Would you like this?
Well, I'll just get my wallet now that I see you've changed your mind. I appreciate you having a change of thought.
I was just getting it for you.
All right. He changed his mind. That's good. You might all laugh and think this is funny. You're not getting your freedom back. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, but
until you fight for it. And if you're not going to fight for it, you're not going to get it. Well, many of us have left our jobs because we're not going to be ordered around by Marxist communists.
Okay, well,
and this is a global thing they're doing.
Okay,
what do I do?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you've all got to stand up. We've all got to stand together.
I'm ready for you now.
We support your business. You've got to support us.
Are you waiting for an order?
No. Look, I apologise. I
was just. I don't. No, no, no. I'd be happy to wear a mask in there, inside your store, just because I'm not that sort of guy. I would be happy to wear it.
Right.
But you wouldn't even serve me when I was outside the building.
No, I think we just misunderstood. I just went to get.
You were very rude. You were very rude, and you changed your mind. I'm not very. I was very polite.
No, you weren't.
You said no mask. What? Are you going to take it away now?
Look, all I'm telling you is that's what we've been instructed and what we do.
Yeah, just like the Nazis. Just like the Germans were instructed to round up the Jews. You're doing exactly the same.
Go away. We don't need you to...
Go away. Well, I'm in public area now, sorry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Your mask on?
No, I'm not wearing a mask.
You should be wearing a mask.
Why aren't you wearing one?
Hey?
Why aren't you wearing one?
I'm going to tell you to leave.
Why aren't you wearing a mask?
Like
why aren't you wearing a mask? Why aren't you wearing a mask? You know what you are?
You're just like some, just like what happened in Germany. You're doing exactly what they did in Germany. No, I'm not.
My father fought in Germany.
So did my father. Yeah.
Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist meeting.
Oh, right. Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
It was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
Indicates to me that desperation for a reason. I think their time's running out because they're obviously working to a timeline. And they want to get as many people vaxxed as possible because when the event kicks off, this is not the event. The event hasn't kicked off yet. I knew probably 2 years ago or a year and a half ago that there was going to be another virus. And I believe it'll play out February, March next year. And they don't want unvaccinated people around by then because they can't control us.
Right.
They want to get us all locked in. Prior to that, and we've just got to hang in there and stand our ground, stand our ground.
They're vicious, aren't they? These people that we're fighting against, they are vicious, dangerous.
Oh, now what was
criminals.
The name of the website? Deagle.com.
How do you spell it?
Okay. Have you heard of Jane's International?
Juliet, Alpha,
no, yeah,
Mike?
Jane's International. Jane's International is a military.
Hang on, can you just go over the spelling again? Juliet Alpha, is it November or Mike?
Yep, November Echo Sierra.
Right, Echo Sierra.
Yeah, Jane's International.
Yep. Got it. Okay, carry on.
So what it is Jane's International, trusted source for defense intelligence, unrivaled defense and security analysis, military platforms, threat intelligence. It's a worldwide platform, Jane's Defense.
Okay.
It's a magazine that comes out and it covers every aspect. It's recognized throughout the world.
Yes.
Well, there is another one, right, that's called Deagle.com, and it's recognized throughout the entire world on a similar platform. Again, it's aligned to military equipment and civilian aviation. But if you get into Deagle.com...
How do you spell it?
Deagel, right?
Yeah, .com.
If you dig... And now, so Deagle.com get information sent to it from all around the world. Every government entity that you can find, and it's just a platform of information from a government level, industry level. If you dig deep into it, you will find that there is an article in there. Deagle organization predicts massive global depopulation of 50-80% by 2025.
Good grief.
Deagle, a true intelligence organization for the US government, predicts a massive 50-80% global depopulation by 2025. Few people are familiar with this website, and even more say the organization does not legitimately exist. Despite the overwhelming removal of its significance, WikiLeaks documents revealed that it was legitimately used as a reference material in so many things. And then it lists in a chart, and this is where it becomes very, very interesting. It lists all the countries in the world and the predictions.
Give them Australia's one.
No, it's not on this page. And the predictions for depopulation. And when you have a look at it, you will find that westernized countries are the ones who are hit hardest. To take, for example, United States of America, the population is expected to drop from 326 million to 99 million. Italy, 62 to 43. France, 67 to 39. Canada, 35 to 26. But if you look at China, exactly the same. So if you look at India, pretty much the same.
So they're not Russia, vaccinating them?
Exactly the same. Indonesia, almost exactly the same. And if you go through and look at all the Muslim countries, they pretty much remain exactly the same.
Right.
So I don't believe it's a case of whether they're vaccinated or not.
What do you think it is?
Okay. It's part of this new world order. One race, one religion.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll tell you what. Okay, Migration Pact 2018 that Winston Peters signed, which the US refused to sign and also Australia refused to sign, which was the basis for a borderless world where anyone can go to any country of the world.
Yeah.
So what better way to do it? Let's break down Western civilization and colonialism. Let's do a depopulation event through westernized countries of the world, but let's not touch the ethnic countries of the world. And where do you think all the people are going to go? Take New Zealand, for example. I think New Zealand is on the list. We're supposed to lose two. We're supposed to have 2 million people gone, aren't we, by 2025?
Yep.
So houses, infrastructure, cars, people could just walk on in. Wham! You've now suddenly got a mixed race country, and you go to all that other Western countries.
You've got an international country. You haven't got the old British Empire anymore.
Exactly.
Mm.
Absolutely.
No more Occidentals.
And I'm just going to try and find this document, and I'll send it to you. I've got a snapshot here of these countries I've looked at. You know, Iran, no population change. Pakistan, no change. It's just so clear. And
this is beagle.com.
Deagle.
Deagle. DEAGEL.com.
DEAGEL. Look up deagle.com.
That's Delta Echo Alpha.
Alpha Golf
Echo Lima. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dale.
I'm just going to do a search on it and see if it's in depopulation.
Good morning, Dale.
And I believe that is the purpose of all of this.
Depopulation.
Depopulation. Because Bill Gates being the eugenist that he is and his father being the eugenist that he is.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, that guy, the Prime Minister of Malaysia, who I've got the YouTube video actually on my phone now, standing up in 2015 going on about the New World Order. And he actually talked about, in front of the forum, standing up in all the heads of state, how the New World Order want to do a depopulation event, which will be billions of people. This was 2015. I'll just send you that now.
Malaysia's former Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, said that the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPPA, is a New World Order strategy by a powerful pact of people led by the US to dominate the world economy. Speaking at the international conference titled New World Order, Recipe for Peace or War, organized by the Perdana Global Peace Foundation, Dr. Mahathir said globalization and borderless trade are being used to establish a one world government.
Basically, it is about having a world government. We should abolish all states, all nations, all borders, but instead have only one world government. And that world government is to be by certain people, elites, people who are very rich, very intelligent, very powerful in many ways. They are the ones who will govern the world. There was not much talk about democracy or choice of leaders. Instead, there was to be a government by these elites who will impose their rules on everyone in this world. And for those who are unwilling to submit to them, there will be punishment. And the peace that we will get from this is the peace of the graveyard, because the intention also is to reduce the number of people in this world. At the time when the New World Order was enunciated, the population of this world was only 3 billion. the intention was to reduce it to 1 billion. Now the population of the world is 7 billion. There will be a need to kill many billions of people or to starve them to death or to prevent them from giving birth in order to reduce the population of this world.
He talks about the depopulation event of up to 2 billion people. And in 2015, so if that doesn't make people go, oh...
And so really, it looks like the vaccines are what they're using to kill us all off. And so they don't all die at once. Why don't people all just die at once when they get vaccinated?
I believe it's to do with switching on 5G.
Oh.
It's been proven that radio frequencies make cells in the body unstable, and it can also lower your immunoresponse, radiation, the vibration of the microwave energy on the cell structure causes it to vibrate, and it does strange things to the body. You know, I believe that there is a massive, and because you've got the graphene in the system, which causes the body to be a conductor, now you've got, the vaccine has been proven to concentrate around, like, the heart muscle of the heart and around the hypothalamus of the brain. And if you switch it on and those areas are going to be able to absorb more radiation than normal, you don't, how will it affect your body? So can you imagine if you've got bodies that are full of this vaccine and this graphene,
yeah,
and you've got the ability to switch on and off 5G wherever you want and whatever towns you want and aim it at whatever people you want. Get it?
Yeah. Just wipe them out. Just turn the switch in a certain area. So you just kill off certain areas.
The first vaccine, the second vaccine, and now they're talking about the booster shots and every booster shot for 6 months, all with the suspension fluid. You'll be so loaded with it in time to come. You'll be a walking friggin' antenna.
Yeah. In the Bible, I don't know if you've read the Bible, but it says that the people that take the mark of the beast, which is a coming trading mark, where you can't buy or sell without it, says that all those people receive a noisome sore, and noisome means smelly, stinking sore. They get a sore, or might be more, that might be plural sores, I'm not sure, but they get the sore. So that maybe it's the graphene oxide working with the mark.
I would say so. Well, the mark's a foreign thing, and it shouldn't. The graphene is a mark, it's a form of a mark, because it's a bad thing, and it's something you've not got control of, and it's not good. It's not.
The Bible's pretty clear, though. It says in the right hand or in the forehead. The new versions say on, but that's they're a corrupt text. But the old King James says in the right hand and in the forehead. So we're pretty sure we know where it's going to go, this mark of the beast. But again, you can't buy or sell without it. Doesn't mention children, though. It just says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead, that no man can buy or sell, save he that have the mark. And then it goes on to say about the name of the number of the name, the 666 sort of thing.
Well,
so it's trading.
Probably a microchip.
Yeah, something like that, or a nano chip. But we're getting close. You'd have to become a Christian, wouldn't you, with all this stuff happening? You'd have to be looking at it, wouldn't you?
I think everybody would want to be.
Yeah. You're obviously brought up in a Christian home.
Well, I did have my uncle was a great archdeacon.
Right, in the Anglican Church.
Yeah, I used to spend a lot of time with him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's good.
He was a lovely man.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to having you, Dale, and Maria on Saturday night, if you can spare the time. And even if you can't get there straight away, just come and go as you please. But I'll send you the link, so you are a host. You don't have to ask for an invite or anything like that. You're in.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, great talking to you. We'll see you on Saturday.
Okay,
Lord willing.
Thank you. Bye, Maria.
Bye. Bless you.
Bye. Thank you.
Are you going to get vaccinated? I think I want to wait a bit longer.
Well, that was pretty amazing. That was Dale and Maria. And Maria's son, 26-year-old son, is intellectually handicapped. And he attends a special class at a polytechnic. and he was vaccinated against his parents' wish. They took him and vaccinated him. And that is absolutely outrageous. An intellectually handicapped boy vaccinated against the parents' wish. So you can't get you can't give a child an aspirin without parental consent, but you can take the child off to be aborted, a child off to have an abortion without parental consent. You can't take them on a trip without parental consent, but you can vaccinate them with an experimental biological agent without a phone call even. Absolutely outrageous. And so we'll be speaking to Maria on Saturday as well. And so that was just a bit of an interview that I did with them. That was at the end of it, actually, the end of the interview. So if you wait another half hour, I'll have the full interview that I did with Dale and Maria late last night. Right. So you're speaking with Grant Edwards. Well, you're not speaking, you're listening. And my name's Grant Edwards. I'm a bit tired, sorry. It's just after 12 o'clock New Zealand Standard Time. And I'm probably going to end this podcast soon unless anyone wants to have a chat with me. We've got Repent and Believe. I'm not sure who you are, Repent and Believe, so you're welcome to have a talk. And we've got John. Hi, John. I thought you were going to come back on Saturday. Are you on your way somewhere?
Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm preparing. I'm just starting my day, actually. I'm going to Western Kentucky University this morning.
Oh, great. That's fantastic. So,
yeah, in a few hours from now. But yeah, I got a few minutes to chat, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Believe. Let's bring him in or her.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got Ian too back, but he's busy welding. Yeah.
From Scotland. He's busy welding. Yeah.
Yeah. He says, well, that's illegal, surely. Well, no, it's not. So that, can you believe that? So that was Maria. You sort of might have heard Maria in the background, but she's in a moment. I'll put the whole interview on that I did with him.
I can't imagine about all these interesting things. Yeah.
Very upset. Yeah, very upset.
Yeah, and I just found out this morning, and this is a much lesser degree to, but same similar parallel spirit.
Yeah.
In Kentucky, the legislature line vetoed every item of the governor regarding the COVID mandates for our, and this is September 19th, yet our local school board and the Kentucky Board of Education is still enforcing mask mandates to the children. So as soon as I found that out this morning, which is kind of late, right? I'm going, how can you all go? You're in direct rebellion to the lawmakers in Frankfurt. And I want answers now. I'm not waiting to the meeting next Thursday. I want answers now. And I just found out from my daughter that I just found out from my daughter that her teacher joked to the children that my granddaughter. In class there, the teacher told the children, if you all don't keep your masks over your noses, I'm going to glue them there. It was a joke. That's okay. So the teacher, my granddaughter's teacher, and she's pre-K or
pre-K?
Kindergarten.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, she'll be in first grade next year, but, so the teacher told the students that if they don't keep their masks over their nose, she will glue them there.
Good grief. That's
I told my daughter, I just found out a few minutes ago.
Man,
I told my daughter, I said, you need to file a formal complaint. I don't care if she's joking or not.
Yeah.
I want that lady publicly scourged.
Absolutely.
You know, verbally scourged.
We'll turn up with a video camera.
Who do you think you are? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Exactly.
To say even joking to the children, these are little children. They don't belong to you, and this is the problem. See,
The socialists think they own the children. Yeah,
they think they own the children, right?
Yeah, that's right. And they've taken away the name. They don't like you saying parent or mother and father. That's an anathema to them. They want to use the word caregiver,
caretaker, right? Caregiver, caretaker,
caregiver. Yeah, or what's the other word? Guardian. That's another word they use, but they won't. They don't. Yeah. They don't. They dislike it. It's just a terrible word for
God's,
them. Mother
God's
and
family
father.
Structure.
Yeah, they
God's
hate it.
Family structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well, it's just incredible how we're moving along so fast, and it's just every day. There's not a day that goes by that just doesn't shock me. I mean, Ian said he's welding beads. You know what a bead is when you lay the welder along. He said, "I'm welding beads at mental speeds." He flat out. So, he must have earplugs in his ears so he can listen at the same time.
But going back to Maria and Dale, I can't imagine how shocked they are to have their child, adult child, if I understood right.
Yeah, mental, intellectually handicapped. Yeah.
Intellectually handicapped adult and child.
They talked about it. 26 years old. They talked about it. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he was vaccine injured. I'll have to ask. But anyway, that's another story. But I'm hoping to have Heidi on the show in the next day or two. And she has a 22-year-old son who, the moment he had his vaccine, had a seizure and has never been the same. So he's intellectually handicapped as well from vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And they're hushing it up. And so I will hope to have a talk. I'd like to have her on the panel. So Dale, if you're agreeable, we've got Dale and Maria that will come and sit in as co-host speakers, and they'll be able to give their testimony. And also hopefully Heidi will be coming along as well. And there's a few others I've got up my sleeve, but still working on it. So we could be in for some good shows over the next week or two if the Lord tarries.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, brother. I don't know if I told you.
Yeah.
Did you know I got suspended from my job?
I did. Yes, I did. You told me. Yeah, must have been.
So that frees up my naughty time, boy. Of course. Yeah, naughty boy.
Look, I think it's a blessing. I think it's a blessing, don't you? Yeah,
I do. Yeah.
You just focus before the Lord returns. Yeah. Before the rapture, mate, any second now. No, I know you don't believe that. I'm not looking forward to going through the tribulation, John. I don't want to do it.
I understand, brother.
We have to
be prepared. Yeah.
Prepared I've got trepidation about it, you know.
Yeah, I do too, brother. I do too. Especially when you gave me your day vision about having your tongue cut out.
I don't know.
What?
Someone else. And then I had another one that I was hung from my tongue. I might take some little.
Yeah, I think you've been reading Fox's Book of Martyrs a lot.
I have never read it. I think I might have read a couple of pages in it, and I lost it and loaned it to somebody. I never actually got to read the whole thing. Do you know they used to keep the Fox's Book of Martyrs on every lectern with the King James Bible? On every lectern in every Church of England church. Mm. Until
church.
1880, about the late 1880s.
I only heard a few minutes of the broadcast, but very, very, very good discussions. And a few things I heard. He was mentioning that Deagle website. I can't even bring it up on my computer. I can't bring up Deagle.com.
Really? And I sent the link in there.
Yeah, I believe you, but I can't. It's not going. The proxy's not connecting.
Wow. I'll
check later. But
maybe they don't want you to see it. Maybe they think we're too stupid over here. We won't know what we're looking at.
Yeah. I don't know, but whatever reason. And then the Janes, in the military, he was mentioning the Janes book, right?
Yeah.
You have Janes fighting ships and aircraft has been it's like a military encyclopedia of capabilities, and I'm very familiar with it. We'd have it on the bridge of all of our ships.
Right.
So we could help identify different countries' aircrafts and ships and stuff. So, So
okay. Well, what I'm going to do, John?
Oh yeah, Janes. Go ahead.
Hey, you go ahead.
No, it was fine. Go ahead.
Okay. No. I insist after you.
No, I just Oh, go ahead, mate. So I was just commenting further on Janes. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of these sites. Not at all.
Yeah.
I insist. Lingalonga says that you should go, John. You should talk next. Lingalonga. Should we let him in? Have a quick chat with him before you go? Have you got time?
Sure. Yeah, I got time.
Hey, before though, what about Repent and Believe? Are you still there, Repent and Believe? Are you going to talk to us? Just unclick your mic, Repent and Believe. No, but we've got... there he is. How are you doing? Where are you from? You're from New Zealand, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Is this a bloody church show? Is this a church show?
I beg your pardon? Who's that talking? Who's speaking? Repent and Believe?
Hi,
how are you doing? Good. What's your name?
Ellie. I've spoken to you
before. Oh, Ellie, yeah. Yeah.
We spoke. Welcome back, hi. Ellie.
Yeah.
I was just listening because I started late, so I was really interested in what you guys are talking about. So I'll go quiet and just listen.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Now, Lingalonga, we've got a rule on the show. We don't like swearing. and we don't like blasphemy. So are you okay with that, mate?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about something?
I thought it was about radar.
Yeah, it is. Yep. You heard it. You missed it, though. But we're having him on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, about the same time, New Zealand Standard Time.
Right.
Dale, he'll be back on. You want to come back then?
Yeah, I'll come back. That'll be about 8.
Yeah. Okay, mate. Yeah, thanks for calling.
What's his background on radar? What lingo language?
Oh, well, I was just learning about I used to do fire behavior analysis, so I used to look at, like, columns of smoke using radar. And I used to do some other stuff just about soundings and, you know, aerological diagrams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you're an Aussie, are you?
Yeah.
I like that kookaburra you got up there on your guitar.
Lingalonga, my last two ships in the military, in the Navy, were Aegis phased array radar. Are you familiar with that? So on the superstructures of the ship, they have a flat panel radar on each quarter of the superstructure. And they claim, they called it over the horizon radar and targeting.
That's interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Over the horizon.
Over the horizon. And it kind of goes along with the whole the Navy 100-mile railgun weapon, right? So you have this projectile that gets electromagnetically accelerated down the rail, and it travels for 100 miles of flat and level flight before it strikes the target at supersonic speeds. And what do you think about that in regards to radar and how it works with the bounce back and stuff? You know, those two ideas. It
leads to the obvious question, which is the Earth flat?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought too. I go like, what in the world? And I thought
you thought we're on a globe. So
what do you think, Longer?
What do you think, mate?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I thought it might have been bouncing off the atmospheric levels, but I guess not, huh?
Well, are you aware that the flat Earth model has this terrarium type hard expanse over the top of it? You know, you think of a terrarium, right? The radar things radio frequencies could be bouncing around inside this bowl, if you can imagine that. A hard bubble. Like this, yeah.
Snow dome.
Snow globe. Yeah.
Same kind of thing. So it's.
Yeah, I had a link of one, actually. I'll find a link for Terraria and stick it up for everybody. Terraria.
Hemisphere.
Yes, exactly. Well, anyway, I don't want to hold you up from your normal programming.
You're not holding us up.
Letting me join.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Actually, I will be interviewing this fellow.
Nice to chat with you, Lingalonga.
Yeah, you too. Nice to meet you, fellas.
Yep, okay, mate. No worries. See you later. The only difference between an Australian and a New Zealander is the New Zealander goes, she'll be right. And the Australian goes, she'll be right, mate. That's right, isn't it?
Spot on, brother. Yep.
Yeah.
There's some other differences, but they're not appropriate.
No, they're not. No, I think a New South Wales, not a New South Wales, a Queensland taxi driver told me, and I was quite shocked. Right, yeah. You have a good night, and we'll hopefully see you back on Saturday. I don't do that one. What does that mean? See you, buddy. Ka kite, what was it? I don't understand all that stuff. Yeah. She'll be right, mate. Yeah, that's the one. So, John, have you got time to keep talking, or you think you might have to go now? You're off preaching, aren't you?
No. I won't even be leaving for the preach for a few hours.
Oh, that's good. Because I thought you said no.
First cup of Java.
Java. Oh, nice. When I spoke to you, when I texted you before, I said, oh, can you talk? And you said NP, and I thought that meant nope. Yeah, you said MP.
No,
that N, means no finale, problem. Sorry. P for papa.
That, no, 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 yeah, no problem.
Oh, is that what that means? I thought it was nope.
Yeah, that's a that's
okay. That's I said, okay, see you Saturday. Yeah. Hey, we've got. I wish Ian would just put the welding sticks down. Oh, no, he doesn't use welding sticks. He's doing MIG probably. There's Ron's out there.
Mm.
G'day, Ron. Come and talk to us. Maybe you talked to Ron the other day.
Let's bring. We did. But Ellie.
Ellie, yeah, talk to us, Ellie.
Ellie, come back in.
What's up?
Oh, there she is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you echoing around your kitchen.
I don't have the earphone, so.
Oh, it seems all right, doesn't it, John? Yeah. It's not echoing too much.
It's not too bad, yeah. You have to get you a set from, yeah.
John sent me a set from Amazon, but he's been suspended, haven't you, John?
Yeah, I have. I've been suspended without pay.
At least you weren't suspended from the ceiling.
Yeah, that's
is that
right.
Because you haven't taken the mandate vaccination?
No, man, no. It's not. The reason why is because I was passing out anti-vax leaflets to my fellow comrades within the building.
Excellent. And,
yeah. So I had handed out, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 dozen, I suppose. And so here's the story. I don't know if I shared this part with you, Grant. So I get my last one. A Christian lady gave back to me. She goes, oh, I read this. I don't need this. And she gave it back to me. She already had her jab a couple times, I guess. She gives it back to me, and I walk out to check on my car because I think it's raining or going to rain, and my windows are partially down. So I go to roll them up. Well, I'm walking across the parking lot, and this nice white Jeep drives up, and he waves me over. And as I'm walking in front of the Jeep, I wave the little pamphlet to him. He rolls down the window, and there's the plant manager. So I want to play it cool. So I give it to him, and I say, oh, and this has the websites I was trying to give to you before that he wouldn't allow publication within the electronic voice board that we have for the employees. And about an hour and a half later, I got called into the HR office for what they called a truth discovery. Oh, we're just here to discover the truth. And they began to interrogate me. How many have you given out, and where have you given them out? And I said, well, this seems like an interrogation. Oh, no, we're just seeking the truth. Yeah, very sweetly, you know, and coyly, these two, my operations manager and one of the HR firing managers, I suppose. Anyway, I still have a job right now. I haven't been completely fired, but the end of the interview, the second one, she said, well, because you wouldn't, you know, give us your testimony, you wouldn't write down what happened, what you've done, and cooperate with our investigation, we're going to initiate an investigation, and we will call you back if you still have a job. If you still have a job, she said. So I'll give you a ring. I said, so I'm not even going to have a chance to defend myself, and I completely misunderstood on the first interview. I completely misunderstood that if I did not fill out their paperwork, that I would be suspended pending firing. So anyway, I think it's just the bullet they were looking for to shoot at me, and I gave it right to the plant manager. Anyway.
Have they told you prior that you weren't allowed to hand out anything?
Well, that's part of the – yeah, that's a great question. That's part of the situation is, you know, you have these pre-employment agreements that you sign. You don't really pay attention to, right? You just electronically you agree. It's like, you know, 40 papers, right?
Yeah.
Digital papers.
Where's he gone? He's talking in the bottom of a barrel. Hey, get out of that barrel, John. You sound like you're talking the bottom of a 44-gallon drum. Did you know that? What have you been doing?
I did not. Doesn't sound like it to me.
Oh, well, it did to us, didn't it, Ellie?
But I'll sit down now.
It sounded a bit weird.
Yeah, it's better now. Is that better? We'll let you talk now. You may talk.
thank you.
Welcome.
So, what was I? Anyway, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, suspended with.
How will we know we've arrived when we get there?
Still having problems?
I am joking. I've ruined your train of thought, haven't I?
Yeah, so I'm derailed. Sorry.
You're not meant to be. What do they call that? Like, you can't promote anything. You can't hand out anything. What, political or religious? I suppose, and they just.
That's yeah. Anything.
Really pay attention.
Any
to that.
Idea that's contrary, and that's one of the things that. That's one of the things that I said during the interviews, what I termed the interrogations, is that, listen, if Amazon wasn't pushing the agenda of safe and effective for the vaccines, this wouldn't be a big deal at all. You wouldn't have a problem with me handing out information from my point of view if your point of view wasn't, he can't hand out negative information about our agenda. So anyway, it's evidence to me that it is an agenda. And I told both of them, I said, listen, there'll be a day that you're going to be judged and you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Oh, my operations manager, he got hot. He's such a cool cucumber. All the last 2 years I've known him, lots of stressful situations. That guy's very cool. But he got really upset when I said this. And he said, what day are you talking about? I said, judgment day. And he got very, very upset. So at least I gave him that, you know, he's going to be judged for every level of the chain of command and all these organizations, these corporate communistic organizations that are forcing people to take jabs, schools, universities, government entities. I'm sorry.
I think that people know that they're going to be judged. That's why they war against God so much. They don't want to be told it because they really do know that. Because, you know, God said he wrote his law on your heart. So even if you try and avoid the Bible your whole life, you really do know that's coming in the end.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's why there's a fear of death.
There's some crazy stuff going on in my town tonight. I've heard.
It's called.
In your town.
Dogs going mental. And I've had three. The fire station alarms go off tonight. It's really weird.
Don't tell us where you live, what area.
No. I'm just wondering what's going on.
Hey, did you see in the chat, Lingalonga said, I hate myself for getting vaxxed, and he's here, he's back with us. We're not judging you, mate, but tell us about why you did it.
Are you recording this?
Yeah.
Do you publish it? Yeah, do you publish
it? Sometimes, usually. Would you rather we didn't? Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to go on record?
No, but I will. I'll comment brief, like, generally.
I'm
interested to know. I'll tell you about a friend of mine, huh?
Well, you just said, I hate myself for getting vaxxed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, everyone's been coerced, right?
Yeah.
So we're kind of caught up in, you know, if I had a choice between keeping my job and not getting vaxxed, or, you know, like if I had that choice, then I would make it.
Yeah.
But I don't have it. So it's not a choice. You know what I mean?
And then you said, I need a job. So did you lose your job?
Yeah, well, I did. No, but that's why, I mean, like, I need a job.
That's why I took the vax.
Oh, yes, of course. That's why you got vaxxed. Like, right, yeah.
It's coerced. Yeah. It's coerced.
You know? So many people have told me this. They wouldn't have done it, but they've had to.
Mm-hmm.
But that
I just want to know, repent, like you were just talking about, like, judgment and stuff. I'm interested from this spiritual perspective. about what this all means, because it's something I haven't explored. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about Mark of the Beast and all that other stuff, but I'm interested to know what you guys think about it.
Yeah, so that's Ellie. Ellie is repent and believe.
Well, I just Ellie, made sorry. My first podcast tonight, which is funny. You should maybe you want to listen to it.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Can you put it in the chat, Ellie?
I really don't know how to use technology. Okay?
Just put the link in there. Yeah.
I barely figure out how to turn things on. As far as what he's asking, when he said that you said he hates himself because he got it, and then he said like he felt like he had no choice and so he did it but he didn't want to, that really sounds to me like what you go through when you're in an abusive relationship, and the way the mind splinters with post-traumatic stress and cognitive dissonance and even Stockholm syndrome. And I've been through all that. I lived that for many years, so it's incredible psychological suffering. And to go through, to know that you don't want to do something, but then you do it for whatever reason. In this case, people are thinking, "Oh, I'm going to lose my job. You know, what will I do?" So you get it done. You're allowing yourself to be abused, and so then you've got to deal with that kind of torment. So I think it's disgusting that people are being put in this position, you know, and like, it's really disgusting that anybody's been put in that position. And if they don't have any hope and any faith and any belief in anything outside of what they're seeing and what they know of as reality, then I can understand why they just go along and do it. But for the guy you're talking to, I would just encourage him to really look into God. You know, obviously he doesn't know him, but really start looking into it, and maybe you will find some peace. Maybe you will find your answers. But don't hate yourself. Don't beat yourself up. I know it's horrible what you're going through, but yeah.
So if I might jump in there quick, Ellie, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really encourage you, Brother Lingalanga, to get a Bible, read the New Testament. Jesus Christ said that, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." You know, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. You know, he died for all of us. And he offers you a way of escape from this world, from physical ailments, from all these things. And he died that way. God demonstrated his love for us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. So if you will seek him and make your confession to him and receive him as your Lord and Savior, then he will change you. He will, like he changed me and Grant and Ellie and many millions of people throughout the world, billions, I suppose, over the course of history. Because, you know, from that cross, he did something that is, you know, just hard to understand as a human. Father, forgive them. You know, he's hanging there completely bloodied. The Bible says he was marred more than any man. So he's had the Roman whips scourged him and basically stripped his skin off, and of course damaged his musculature, and he gets pinned to the cross, fulfilling the prophecies from the Old Testament, and that needs to shock our spirit to ask a simple question of God: why would you do that for me? And he will tell you. The Bible assures us, if you'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to you in the spirit, you know, because God is spirit. And right now the Father is still on his throne, despite everything that's going on in the world. The Son is sitting at his right hand of authority, still sitting on his throne in the spirit above, transcending all governments. the governments of the world, for the most part, Malaysia's they're all corrupted and messed up and trying to rule the wrong way. But God is a righteous king. We're programmed to know that which is right or wrong. Every human being, every culture, language, and nation. And so, you know, before the devil knows his time is short, so he's really accelerating the destruction worldwide. And those people that are awake spiritually just see it clear as a bell. And so just really encourage you to awaken and to God and receive him like a child.
Oh, we should I don't want to get too chatty, I'm sorry. All
does that make
nations,
sense?
All borders.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
but instead have only one world government.
The rights and stuff. So
and that world government needs to be by
sort of structurally
people,
I understand what you're talking about.
Elites,
but
people who are
with regards to what's happening at the moment, do you see that there's like
ways,
a tyranny of evil that's causing what's happening, or do you see it as just a capitalistic thing that's just money making?
Yeah, it's a great question. The Bible says about the devil, elites, about Satan, he is the prince of the power of the air. He is the god of this world, little g. So God has given him room, given him authority to rule and reign in this place. And he influences, pushes, promotes the world's leaders, tempts them to do evil. And because they're greedy and they're carnal, they love power, the megalomaniacs, Bill Gates, Soros, Jacinda Ardern, these leaders, they love the power, they love the rulership, but they're not ruling properly. And Psalm 2 says that God's going to give them an account, and that they need to seek Jesus in order to be forgiven. They could be forgiven. And we learned in the last show that we should pray for our rulers, those people that are Christians.
We
should pray for the rulers for them to repent and do righteously. And so that's my short answer. My short answer is the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, he's all about destruction. You know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the Bible says. And so he's doing that through these world governments. And what ultimately will be, as prophesied in the Bible 2,000 years ago, one world government, and it will be tyrannical. It will be complete lockdown, lockstep, every part of life. You know, can we even have a radio show like this and discuss these things in the near future? God knows. but anyway, so there's a narrow way of escape, and that's Jesus. And we have to come to him the way he wants. He's a good ruler. He's a good king. And he offers something to us. Do you mind me calling you Lingalunga, or do you have a given name you'd rather
I use? No, you can call me.
Okay, so he's a good governor. He's a good king, and because he's a benevolent king, he wants to offer something to escape his judgment. You know, his holiness requires a law, and the law is to love him supremely, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we all did that, we'd be fine. We wouldn't steal from each other. We wouldn't murder each other. We wouldn't try to, do things sexually with people that we shouldn't do. You know, men chasing after other men's wives, that kind of thing, or rape and incest, all that wickedness. And he promises mercy if we come a certain way. And the Bible says in Psalm 34 that God saves those that be of a contrite, regretful spirit. You know, 25 years ago, I so regretted everything I'd done against God and the people around me. I had such a horrible, destructive lifestyle, you know, it's just really bad. And I'm still feeling, experiencing the consequences of that sin from a life, you know, basically 23 years from the time I was 13 until I was 36. this life of destruction that I led as I was following the devil's pernicious ways and rebelling against God. So anyway, does that make sense?
Yeah, but why, and I don't mean this in a suicidal tense because that's not what I'm talking about at all, but why bother being here amongst this just tyrannical powers? I mean, Revelations talks about four horsemen, but the fifth one's hope. You know, why bother? Why stick around in this?
Yeah.
It's just it's a punish, right? Or is that what it is?
Well, the Bible tells Christians that we will experience great tribulations in this place. We will go through fire, so to speak, and both naturally and spiritually. And, you know, it has its work that it does. It develops, you know, it develops patience and virtue and the truth, you know, is refined through experiencing hard things. And, you know, think about, well, why did Jesus have to go to that cross and experience that so we could be forgiven? Why couldn't God just forgive us? Well, because of God's, you know, infinite holiness and his law. The Bible says his law is good. There's nothing is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is that we haven't been. Because God has given all of his creatures, his angels and the humans that he created, he's given us all the dangerous idea of freedom of choice, freedom of will. And because of that freedom, we can choose the wrong, you know. We can choose to do that, which is right, but we've all chosen to do wrong. And we've lied, we've stolen, we've lusted, we've been prideful, all the arrogant, all these things that God in his holiness hates, you know. And the Bible also explains about the mystery of sin or the mystery of iniquity that was found in Lucifer's heart. You know, the Roman Catholic Church teaches about original sin, but the original sin was Lucifer. That was the original sin. He's the original sinner, right? And he comes up with this doctrine of, original sin in the garden. That's not true, you know. And so the original sinner was Lucifer. And then he influenced and tempted a third of the angels, and they sinned. And then the Satan and his minions, tempted humanity, and Eve fell. So she was the next sinner. And then Adam fell, and then we've all sinned since then. And sin is described as a breaking of the law, which makes us basically criminals, which is why there's a judgment day. Because God is not going to ignore his law. He has to execute the consequences of the law. At the same time that he's done that, he's also reached down with his son, born of a virgin, lived perfectly and fulfilled the law. He never did any sin, yet he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He laid down on the cross as a love sacrifice to as a substitute for us. You know, if we would trust what he did on the cross and him as Lord and Savior, then the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit could forgive us, would forgive us. They will. They promise that they will forgive us if we come the right way. This is, oh, yeah, I accept Jesus in my heart, but I keep on getting drunk and chasing the ladies. No, that's not the kind of heart that God wants. Yeah. Grant, you have thoughts there, brother?
I just think of C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and how I think the people that put that movie together didn't realize what they were doing, because C.S. Lewis was giving us the picture of Christ's love for us, that lion that was sacrificed for the sins of one of the kids, one of the children. He rose again. He's the Lion of Judah. Jesus is known as the Lamb of God when he laid down his life, and also the Lion of Judah when he comes back again. And so those children were a picture of the church, the believers.
and the darkness and the snow is a picture of the earth as it is today, really, even though we have sun and it looks beautiful, but really we're in spiritual darkness because Satan is the god of this world, little g. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's wrestled the kingdom from Adam and Eve. And so he has dominion over this. And when Satan, it says, after Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, he took him up into a high mountain and showed him the whole world and said, I'll give you this if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus didn't correct him and say, well, it's not yours to give. You're not the king of this earth. But he was the king of this earth. He'd wrestled it from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had dominion. Well, Adam had dominion. I guess Eve did too, over the earth, but they lost it through sin. And so the devil, that's all he wants to do, is he just wants you to doubt God's word. But Jesus came, the man from heaven, and the Bible tells us in Isaiah 9:6 that he is God. And so that little baby is born, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it wasn't until I understood that when the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, I didn't realize who the only begotten Son was, that it was that God himself came in human form. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He became one of us, so that he could lay down his life for us as a human sacrifice, really, just like the Jews gave a lamb for a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Jesus was the final offering. And that's why John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb. When he saw Jesus coming to be baptized, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so all we have to do is put our trust in him and believe by faith that he died for us and that he rose again 3 days later, according to Scripture. And even if I took you in a time machine back to the foot of the cross and saw that bloody form, as John said before, marred more than any man, the Bible tells us, you'd still need faith to believe that all your sins are on him, that he was dying for you. And the Bible says, blessed is he that believeth without seeing. And so he just wants you to believe. And though the children of Israel, the ones that were allowed into the promised land, were the ones that had faith. They believed. And those that didn't believe weren't allowed in, except for the younger teenagers and the boys and girls that were under 20. They were allowed to go in because they didn't fully understand the consequences of their actions. So the Lord allowed them to come in, but those that were the adults weren't allowed to enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. And it's the same with us. The Lord wants people that believe him, believe by faith that he came to earth in human form, laid down his life for us, and rose again for us. And he wants to, the Bible says in John 14 that he went to prepare a place for us, and he's coming back to take us to be with him and live with him forever. And that's what we want for all of you. Does that make sense?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Thank you. Look, I appreciate the discussion, and you know, it gives me something to reflect on. So I'll think about it. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. You have a good night.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Great.
God bless you, Lingalonga.
Thank you, you too.
Yeah.
You're listening to Liberty NZ. It's 16 minutes past one. And, I always get a bit emotional sometimes when I talk about what the Lord did for us.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, you should probably get some rest, brother.
Yeah, I suppose I should.
Yeah.
It was funny today. I was watching my son. I let him drive the tractor. I thought he's got to learn somehow.
Yeah.
So we have a quick hopped in there, made him run alongside the tractor while I went through the gears for him. And mm-hmm. No, I didn't. That's actually an old song from. So it's a comedy act from a New Zealander actually who went to Australia called John Clark, and his character was called Fred Dagg. You want to look him up, Fred Dagg. He says, "I taught the wife to drive the tractor by making her run along beside it." Now, anyway, he was learning to drive the tractor, and he's good. He's a quick learner. Lingalonga remembers John Clark. Yeah, he died recently, and I think he died without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. Fred Dagg, yeah, that was the character. Yeah. Oh, well, perhaps I should get to sleep, John.
Yes, sir.
Get some sleep before Saturday night. And so yeah. you're off to preach on the campus.
Off to Western Kentucky University to try and minister to the students. And this will be the first time I've ever preached with this brother from Richmond, Kentucky, that I met at a biblical cosmology conference about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I've seen him preach on at University of Kentucky, and they call him Moon Man because he always starts his presentations off with the hoax of the moon landings. For those of you that...
How does he?
Yeah, he does. He has these big boards that he uses. So today I'm just along for the ride to do some learning. That's what I explained to him. And it was funny, the first time that I saw him on campus, not the first time I met him, but I was with a friend of mine who's an engineer. He did not graduate University of Louisville because he got a job offer paying too much. And so he left his third year for his engineering degree to get a job in 3D, what's it called, where they machine stuff in three dimensions with a printer and a big cutter. So that's what he does, making water pumps for third world countries. So that's Christian organization. Anyway, so he, of course, is not a biblical cosmologist, though he's a Christian. And while we were preaching down to the crowds, and one of the people said, "Oh, are you a flat earther?" And he says, "Oh, no, of course not." And, well, Moon Man up there is. Yeah, well, you know, I could show him that, you know, the error of his way, so to speak, and paraphrasing, but and they went up and got Moon Man, and Moon Man came down. It was a fun little discussion, and my brother Joey wasn't ready for him though.
All right,
he wasn't ready. Peter is very well versed from the Bible on these things, and so I think Joey was a little embarrassed, but. I hope to arrange a formal debate between the two of them, actually.
We'll see. That'd be good. Get them to do it on the show. We'll have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to hear it.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that, I'm pretty sure.
They wouldn't?
Yeah. No, I don't think Joey wants to talk about it that badly.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm whistling for my dog. I'm whistling for my dog.
What sort of dog have you got?
Bring him in. Dump truck comes and killed him.
Let him hear.
There's a dump
what
truck
happened?
Coming down the ridge. Yeah.
All right.
There's a dump truck coming down the ridge, and my little doggie's out there in the road sniffing around.
Oh, like better go and get him.
Being kind of goofy. There goes the dump truck. Can you hear it?
Wow.
Yeah. Beautiful morning in Kentucky. The sun's rising, and oh, well, except for the chemtrails all over the place. A little more nanoparticles for our benefit from the world health disorder. All right, brother. Well, God bless you, and look forward to Saturday. We'll talk to you then.
You got to go. All right, mate. Take care. I'm going to end this pretty soon unless someone wants to talk to me. We've got Ron back there. Good night, John.
Good night,
have a good day.
Good night. Yeah. Good day, brother.
See you, mate. If anyone else wants to have a quick chat before we go, you're welcome to. Ron. Yeah. Good day, Ron. How are you doing? He's good. And Kelson, hello, hi, Ron. Yeah, what do you know?
What do
and
I
Kelson,
know?
You can pop in anytime you like, Kelson. What have you learned today? Tell us what you've learned.
Today? Today I haven't learned anything. I pretty much slept all day.
Yeah. What? During the day?
Yeah. Mm. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But you have question for me because I have a lot of information. Or I'll just start talking. I'll just start talking.
You know the rules, don't you?
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is your show. This is your show.
Oh, that's all right. Did you have anything in particular that you wanted to share with us?
I mean, you know, the vax, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. You're not taking it either, are you?
It's messed up. I ain't getting it. No. Zero.
Yeah. And poor old Lingalonga, he felt like he had to. And a lot of people we know felt the same way.
Back when it first started, man, I mean, we were like, what the hell is going on? What's going on here? And
it's weird, the whole world.
You know. And
wait till you hear Dale. I've got Dale coming up. He's the weapons, the radar, former radar military specialist. Wait till you hear him, Ron. Oh, sorry, I talked over you, buddy. Didn't hear you there.
No, I bless you, man.
Yeah, he's coming on. I'm going to put his show up in a minute. I pre-recorded it late last night, about 11 or 10 o'clock, maybe 11. And so I'm going to put that on after this. But I play just a little bit of the talk I had with him at the end, at the beginning of this one. So the first part of the show wasn't live, but you heard a little bit about what he was thinking. He reckons that when the 5G is switched on, all those people that have been vaccinated are going to be in big trouble. And that sounds really, really harsh, doesn't it? I mean, and then he gave me a link, and it's actually, if you look up there in the chat, you can see the link there where they actually want to reduce the world's population. So that's why we just call out to everybody that, you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you better get to know him. You better repent, because the Lord says he doesn't hear the prayers of the unrighteous. But if you turn from your sins, he will hear your prayers. And if we believe by faith that he died and rose again for us, he says, I'll save you. And we don't need a priest for that. Isn't that wonderful? He is the high priest. We can just call out to him and he hears us. And, you know, that's so important because we're all going to die anyway, aren't we?
I will tell you that the word Jesus has the word. If you say the word Jesus, it has Jesus. Much power.
It does.
The Bible. Christianity, the Bible has much power because so many people believe in it. And I still believe that. I told you before, you know, the last time I called, Roman Catholic, I'm hardcore. That's how I was brought up.
Even though the Bible contradicts Roman Catholicism, you stick with it?
What's that?
Well, the Bible contradicts Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholics say, you call the Pope Papa. That's what the Pope means. The Bible says, call no man Father. The Bible says that there are many roads. You've got to keep the seven sacraments of the church. But our Bible says there's only one. And they also, it says about Mary that she's the conduit to the Lord. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches that there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
I keep seeing all these symbolisms in my mind.
Yeah.
They say there was seven cities.
It's Rome.
Seven cities.
Oh, I see.
Seven original cities on Earth.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know if you ever heard of that.
No, I've never heard of that. I've heard of Atlantis, so I haven't heard of the seven cities.
Yeah, there were seven cities on Earth, and that corresponds to the Bible. They speak of seven, you know. And
God doesn't like cities.
Okay.
No, he didn't want people to make cities. That's why he scattered them at the Babel, Tower of Babel. He scattered everybody and confused their language because they wanted to stop and make a city and make a name for themselves. But the Lord wants us to go out to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every human being needs to hear it. That's what our job is. It's not to go and live in a city and build. He doesn't want that.
See, if we read our Bible, we've got all the answers. But if we listen to religious people, we could often get the wrong end of the stick.
Have you ever heard of something called Rainbow City? Have you ever heard this?
I've heard of that. Isn't that in South Africa? Oh, that's...
No. It was originally Antarctica, but no, it's the North Pole. It has something to do with 33. 33 is the Freemasons.
The Masonic, and,
I'm sorry, but there's much information out there that not many people know about. And, yeah, man, I mean, 33, what's going on in America? What's going on in America?
So just think, we have 33 new cases. You know, they'll sometimes use that figure. The other day they said we have 33 new cases. There was something else that was 33 in it. It's almost like you think it's like a Masonic sign that they're talking to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something to do with that. I'm not 100% sure, but I've tried to research it, and I'm not 100% sure. But if you guys got any information on that, please tell me.
I'm trying to figure it out too.
You
know? There's a guy called Barry Smith. Look him up. I'll put a link in there in the chat. Barry Smith. He was a New Zealand preacher. He's passed away now, but. Gone to be with the Lord, but he was very good on all that, and he knew quite a lot about the Freemasons and their secret handshakes and stuff and their plan for the world. Let's have a look. Barry Smith, New Zealand. I'll just see if I can find him for you, Ron.
I tried to understand that stuff, and it goes very deep. The more you look at it, the deeper it gets. And
yeah, but you know what? We haven't got time for that, mate. The Lord's coming back soon. Yeah. We just need to make sure that we belong to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I reckon we just focus on that, Ron. Yeah, it's up to you, but that's my advice. Forget about all the tricks and all the red, you know, all the things taking you away from the truth. Just keep it simple. What do you think, Ellie? Keep it simple.
I'll go.
Ellie's gone to make a cup of tea.
I'll go with Alicia.
What do you think, Ellie? Do you think that Ron should keep it simple to forget about the Masons? I mean, they're all confused, these Masons.
I would actually warn him, because for one thing, God warned us not to look into such things in darkness, because... You know, he warned us for good reason, and I've been down the conspiracy tracks for over a decade, and I just filled my mind with utter garbage and evil, and it really messed me up. It actually ended up getting into witchcraft. So I have a feeling that you have to be very careful looking into things, that's all, because it is what you're looking into is evil. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus covering you, then, you can be led astray, you can be deceived, you can be even sucked into it. So just, and also, what is that stuff is not going to save you. So do you want to be looking at what is, or do you want to be looking at all the problems of the world? Because this you're never going to run out of options if you want to look at all the problems, or do you want to look at the one solution? So... I'll just say be careful, because it can mess you up big time looking into the dark stuff.
Yeah, wife, she got involved in that. Yeah, just grab your Bible. Don't worry about religious people. Just get your Bible and start reading it. Start in the book of John, or Matthew, or Mark, or Luke, and just start reading that New Testament, because that's the milk of the word that, you know, that we need. And... But the most important thing for you, mate, Jesus said you must be born again. So we're born, a physical birth, born of the water, it says in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus said you must be born again. And born spiritually born is when you repent of your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you and save you. And the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins if you ask him to. And if you'll turn away from your old life of sin, then you will be saved. And it's a bit like a house fire, isn't it? A fireman can't save you from the house fire unless you're prepared to get out of the house that's on fire. If you stay in the house, you're not saved. And if you fall in the water, in the ocean, you're saved from the water. When you get out of the water, if you stay in the water, you're not saved from the water. And it's like that with sin. So the Lord died for our sins that are past, Romans 3:25. And then it's up to us to live for him from now on and by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith.
I love that you posted a lot of text, and I screen captured it. And I will look at this. I bless you.
Well, you know what you can do? Because you're in the host section, in the speaker section, I think you can just like click on this when it's finished, and then you can go back and see all the chat. Because you've actually been, once you get into that, you're able to do that. You've got the link to go in, I'm pretty sure. If you haven't, let me know and I'll send it to you. It'll save you doing screenshots. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Anybody else want to talk?
Kelson.
I don't know. How much time you got left?
Oh, I'm going to have to go soon, but no, I'll stick around. Kelson said that he has to be honest. He says, I'm on the fence. I want to believe, but I have a very hard time believing the stories in the Bible. Yeah, I mean, look, mate, it is. It's incredible. We're supposed to believe that a little Jewish girl got pregnant to God without anything intercourse, just she got pregnant and had baby Jesus, who is actually God himself in human form. That's what the Bible teaches. And it's a fairy tale, isn't it? And how could you believe such a thing? And then we believe that Jesus rose people from the dead. They rose up from the dead. He healed them, made the blind see. And all those things were prophesied in the Old Testament. But one of the most powerful, powerful books you could ever read is Daniel 9. And a man called Robert Anderson, he became Sir, a knight, Sir Robert Anderson. He was the assistant commissioner of Scotland Yard. And he was the head of the criminal investigation department in the late 1800s, and he wrote this book called The Coming Prince. And in that book, he details that when a commandment went forth to build Jerusalem, it was exactly 69 weeks of years, of Jewish calendar years, because in Daniel 9, Daniel was given the prophecy that after there'll be 70 weeks for thy people, the Lord told him. And after 69 weeks, Messiah the Prince shall come, and then he will be cut off. And so Daniel took the writings that were in the Persian history books when Longimanus, who was the Persian prince at the time, did give a commandment to Nehemiah and I think it was Ezra to build the city of Jerusalem. And from that commandment going forth was exactly 483 years, that's Jewish calendar years, to the day. That when the Messiah, the Prince, should come. And so Robert Anderson took his findings and talked to the Royal Astronomer, which is in London, and he was a non-Christian, and he verified that when Artaxerxes gave that commandment, it was exactly 172,880 days to the day, which is exactly 69 weeks of years. A week is seven. So it was 360 days, which is a Jewish calendar, not our one, 365. And so that was 360 days. 69 weeks is 483 Jewish calendar years or lunar years to when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, no man could prophesy that. And God put it in code. He said 69 weeks, so no one could copy it. And so that is the supernatural element. And you can prove it outside of the Bible because Longimanus did give a commandment to build Jerusalem, and it was exactly 69 weeks of years, 483 years to the day, and there's seven more years to go because the angel told Daniel there'll be 70 weeks for thy people. And we read in our Bible that there'll be a seven-year tribulation period where God deals with the Jews again, and that's coming, and that's what we've got. God has brought the Jews back into the land after them being scattered throughout the whole world, all through Europe, And now they're back in the land again. And the Bible says, Jesus says, this generation shall not pass, but shall see the coming of the Son of Man, which is Jesus. And that's why I believe that Bible is what it claims to be. That is the supernatural element of the scriptures. Because we can't prove to you that Isaiah 53, which is another great prophecy, we can't prove that that wasn't written after. We believe by faith it was written 700 years before Jesus came, but we can't prove it. But we can with Daniel 9. Anderson's proved it. The Royal Astronomers backed it up, and it's irrefutable. No one's ever been able to refute what Sir Robert Anderson wrote. And you can, I'll put it in the in the chat. You can look at, you can read that book, The Coming Prince, free of charge. And so I'll do that before I go. So that would convince a thinking person. Oh, well, I really got to get to bed because it's like 20 to 2. So I've got a big day tomorrow. We could talk again, Ron. How about that? We talk again like a Saturday night. We'll probably do 4 hours on Saturday night.
I'll catch you again.
Cool, mate. Bless you, man. Yeah, bless you too. Okay, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Kelson, for that question, and I hope that answered it. So I'm going to put, before I go, I'm going to click around here. So I might just play, I'll just play a couple of things while I find that. So just hang on a moment and wait for that to come through, and then you can copy it, and then you can go and read that book for yourself. And he details, Robert Anderson, he details the supernatural element of the scriptures. It's wonderful. A wonderful work, and I can't understand why more Christians don't know this. You know, people need to be able to trust the Bible. If you can't trust it, why would you put your faith in it? If it was any provable errors in that old King James book, I'd chuck it out and I'd go and look for something else. I'd be out, you know, just eating and drinking, because what's the point of putting your faith into some words on the page of a book if the book is not doesn't possess the necessary elements of being what it claims to be, a divine revelation from the creator of heaven and earth.
Are you going to get vaccinated? I think I want to wait a bit longer. What do you need to wait? I'm just not in a rush to get it, mate. Have you had it? Yeah, I've had it. Why are you being so selfish? How am I being selfish? Because if you get COVID, you can pass it on to me. But you've been vaccinated. Yeah, but I can still get it. So if I get vaccinated, I can still get it too. Yeah, but you should still get it, because then you won't pass it on to me. But if I get vaccinated, I can still get it and still pass it on to you. Well, yeah, but you should still get it. But you can catch it off me whether I've been vaccinated or not. Yeah, but you should still get vaccinated. But why? Because it's the right thing to do. Who says? The people that make it.